duties of a common carrier. A common carrier is bound to carry goods of all persons who choose to employ him, refuse to carry goods if. Carrier can refuse goods if there is no space in the carriage. Carrier can refuse goods if employer doesn't agree to reasonable charges. We just saw the rights of a common carrier. Let's understand the duties of a common carrier. A common carrier is bound to carry goods of all persons without any discrimination who choose to employ him. But he can also refuse to carry goods if there is no space in the carriage. That is definite. I mean, you cannot overload a vehicle. Carrier can refuse goods if employer doesn't agree to reasonable charges, which means here the employer is, there could be two meanings to this employer. One is where you are asking him to, employing him to carry the goods. That means you are the employer and you do not agree to the reasonable charges. The second is that the transporter has a contractor further who is not, now the transporter whom you are talking to is not agreeing to the demands or to the reasonable charges of his transporter or driver. Carrier can refuse goods if the route is not his regular one, which means that if there is a regular transportation route between, let's say, Pune to Bangalore, and if you have cargo which is going to Goa, he can refuse that cargo. The carrier can refuse goods if they are dangerous and pose extraordinary risk. That means that they may be classified as hazardous, and he doesn't have the means, ways and means and the vehicles to carry those hazardous cargoes, then he can refuse those goods. A common carrier can refuse to carry goods if the consignor refuses to disclose the nature of the goods. Now, this is, I believe, very clear that if the carrier is not aware what he is going to carry, he can refuse. And if you are not going to tell him that for whatever business reasons, then he can refuse to carry those goods. A common carrier can refuse to carry goods if they are not properly packed. We looked at this point again earlier, which said that the consignor is responsible to pack the goods such that they are fit for transportation. A carrier may face damages for refusing to carry goods without valid reason. The carrier must use the usual route and ensure safety changing only in exceptional cases. He must deliver the goods at the agreed time or within a reasonable time. A common carrier is an insurer of goods, guaranteeing safe transport. Before we get to the liabilities, let's understand the duties again. A carrier may face damages for refusing to carry goods without valid reason. We looked at the reasons that a carrier can refuse to carry goods. But other than those reasons, if there is no valid reason that he has, he could be sued or damages can be claimed from him for refusing to carry the goods. The carrier must use the usual route. Again, let's say that example of Bangalore to Pune. And if there is a bypass or if the route entails going through another city because of certain reasons, that means in exceptional cases, which means that there is a roadblock or there is some agitation or some political party which has blocked the road or something like that, in those exceptional cases, he is permitted to go through another route and reach his destination. He must deliver the goods at the agreed time or within a reasonable time. This is part of the contract when you actually are hiring out the common carrier. You will decide what is going to be the time factor that would be agreed. Let's say if he says 5 days, you are agreeing to maybe 7 days because you know that that could be a reasonable time for him to deliver the goods. A common carrier is an insurer of goods guaranteeing safe transport. So in the sense of insurer is that while he is liable for damages in case of criminal or negligence acts, his implied guarantee is the safe transport and delivery of the goods. Let's understand what are the liabilities of a common carrier. The Carriers Act 1865 defines carrier liability, classifying goods as scheduled and non-scheduled, which means all goods which are being transported are further classified as scheduled and non-scheduled. Scheduled goods are valuable items like gold, silver, and currency. Others are non-scheduled. For scheduled goods over rupees 100, the carrier is liable only if the consignor discloses the value or if damage is due to the carrier's criminal act. Now this is interesting. Scheduled goods. Now first thing, what are scheduled goods? Scheduled goods are valuable items like gold, silver, and currency. All others are non-scheduled goods. So all the so-called pure metals or the high-class metals, as well as other items like diamonds and other jewelry pieces. These are all non-scheduled goods. These are all scheduled goods. Everything else is non-scheduled. For these goods, that means gold, silver, diamonds, currency, scheduled goods, if the value is above 100, the carrier is liable only if the consignor discloses the value or if damage is due to the carrier's criminal act, which means in both the cases, the carrier would definitely want to know what is the value of goods that he is going to be carrying, because his liability is based on the damage, if any, due to his negligence or his criminal act for damaging the goods. Carriers can charge extra for scheduled goods, but can't limit liability. For non-scheduled goods, liability can be limited. Claims must be made within 6 months. Now let's see what happens in case if there is a claim to be put. Carriers can charge extra for scheduled goods. That means we looked at currencies, gold, silver, etc., which are scheduled goods, but can't limit liability. That means that they may charge an extra charge for the transportation, but there is no way that they can limit the liability. For non-scheduled goods, liability can be limited. Claims also must be put within 6 months. We saw that period of 180 days earlier. Post office is not a common carrier. The post office is not a common carrier. It provides postal services under the Post Office Act and related rules. What we understood was in the definition of the common carrier that the common carrier is only that transporter who hires out his vehicles or his infrastructure for the purpose of transporting goods from point A to point B for a certain charge. Now here, and it does not cover private vehicles, private carriers and government vehicles. Now post office does not qualify under two counts. One is the post office is not a common carrier because it provides postal services under the Postal Office Act and related rules. That is the first condition. The second is that it is a government-owned organization, which means that they do not qualify to be a common carrier. Carriage of goods by rail. This is the next form of transport on land. The carriage of goods by rail is regulated by the Railways Act of 1989. Some of the important provisions contained in the Act are summarized below. Maintenance of rate books, etc. for carriage of goods under Section 61. Railways must keep rate books at goods stations for public reference during reasonable hours free of charge. Besides the road transport by land, there is another form of transport, and that is transporting material or goods by rail. The carriage of goods by rail is regulated by the Railways Act of 1989, and the Act has certain provisions contained in the Act which are summarized. Maintenance of rate books. Now this is a requirement as per the Railways Act of Section 61 that the railways must keep the rate books at goods stations for public reference during reasonable hours, and this reference is to be free of charge. That means the administrative people there at that goods station cannot charge anybody just to refer what the rates are from station A to station B. Provision of rate risks, Section 63. Goods are carried at the railway risk rate unless the owner opts for owner's risk rate. Forwarding note, Section 64. The consignor must provide accurate details in the forwarding note, and the railway is not liable for damage caused by incorrect information. Provisions of rate under risk at rate risks under section 63. Goods are carried at the railway's risk rate unless the owner opts for owner's risk rate. Most of the cases, the railway's risk rate is a little more high, is much higher than the owner's risk rate. Forwarding rate, forwarding note, section 64. The consignor must provide accurate details in the forwarding note, and unless those details are accurate, the railways is not liable for any damages caused by any incorrect information provided on the forwarding note. Railway receipt under section 65. A railway administration issues a railway receipt as primary evidence of the weight and number of packages upon completing loading or accepting the goods. Railway receipt. The railway administration who actually receives the material or is responsible for loading it into the wagon gives a receipt saying that how much of weight was the consignment of and what number of packages it contained. Now, these two informations more or less are good enough to describe the consignment, and that this note is issued only after the materials have been either accepted or the loading has been completed. Carriage of dangerous or offensive goods. Dangerous goods must be notified and marked before railway carriage. That means if you are going to hand over some dangerous goods to the railways for transportation, they must be notified and the goods must be marked before they are handed over for railway carriage. Liability of railway administration for wrong delivery, section 80. Railway administration is not liable for wrong delivery due to forged or defective endorsements on the receipt, which means that while the railways has a liability for delivery, they have no liability for wrong delivery. What does this mean? Section 80 of the Carrier of Goods Act, Railways Act of 1989 says that railway administration is not liable for wrong delivery due to forged or defective endorsements on the receipt. So the railway receipt that was issued, if that is forged or made defect or there has been a defective endorsement on it, then the railways has no liability whatsoever for the wrong delivery. What would actually mean here is that let us say the railway receipt contains a destination and somebody forges that destination and changes it to some other city Y instead of X. In this case, the railways will not be liable for delivering it to Y because the railway receipt originally was made for destination X. Responsibility of a railway administration as a carrier of goods. Section 93 to 112 of the Railways Act 1989 contain provisions on this subject and are summarized below. General responsibility of a railway administration as carrier of goods, section 93. Railway administration isn't liable for loss, damage due to acts of God, war, riots, legal processes or government restrictions. An act of God, an act of war, an act of public enemies or arrest, restraint or seizure under legal process. So, general responsibility of a railway administration as a carrier of goods under section 93 says that the railway administration isn't liable for any loss or damage due to any of the force majeure conditions, including an act of God, an act of war, an act of public enemies, or arrest, restraint, or seizure under legal process. Orders of restriction imposed by the central or a state government or by an authorized government official. Act of omission or negligence of the consignor, consignee, endorsee or the agent, authorized representative of the consignor, consignee, endorsee. Natural deterioration or wastage in bulk or weight due to inherent defect, quality or characteristic of the goods, latent defects, fire, explosion or any unforeseen risks. This is a continuation of the conditions under which the railway administration is not liable for any damages or loss. Orders of restrictions imposed by the central or state government or by an authorized government agent, which means that let's say if your cargo is under restrictions, under the orders of restrictions imposed by either the central government or the state government or an authorized government official, that the railway authorities will not be responsible for any loss or damage to those goods. An act of omission or negligence of the consignor, that means you yourself, when you have, before you handed over the product, the goods to the railway authorities, or the consignee, where he is responsible to hire out the railway authorities and he has omitted certain data or neglected certain data from being disclosed, or endorsee of the agent, authorized representative of the consignor, consignee or the endorsee. So, if not the consignors, consignee and endorsee in person, even the representatives or the agent, if they have committed an act of omission or negligence, then the railway administration is not liable for any loss or damage to the consignment. Natural deterioration or waste in bulk or weight due to inherent defect, quality or characteristic of the goods. There are certain goods which over a period of time lose volume, or there would be a chemical reaction due to different temperatures which would reduce the volume of the said cargo. In these conditions, because of this inherent characteristics or defect or the quality characteristic of the goods, if there is any natural deterioration or reduction in bulk or weight, then the railway authorities would not be liable for any loss or damages. The latent defects, as we saw earlier, and fire, explosion or any unforeseen risks. Carriage by rail. A railway administration's liability is similar to that of a common carrier. It must prove reasonable care and foresight in handling goods, even if loss or damage occurs due to any of these specified causes. So we just saw that where the railway authorities liability is no more, there is no liability from the railway authorities, especially where there is those conditions that we just saw earlier. But it must prove reasonable care and foresight in handling the goods, even if the loss or damage occurs due to any of the above, which means that if the railways, there is negligence from the railway side, then irrespective of the terms and conditions that we've already seen, they will not be excused from their liability. Delay or retention in transit. Railway administration is liable for loss or damage due to delay, unless caused by factors beyond its control. So, Section 95 says that railway administration is liable for loss or damage due to delay, unless caused by factors beyond its control, like the act of God, acts of any restrictions or any other conditions of force majeure. Owner's risk rate or railway risk rate. Owner's risk rate is a reduced rate where the railway is not liable for loss, damage or non-delivery unless caused by negligence or misconduct. Liability for damage to goods in defective condition or defectively packed, Section 98. Goods tendered to a railway administration to be carried by railway may be in a defective condition or defectively packed. Let's look at what are the other conditions. Railway owner's risk rate or railway risk rate, Section 97. Section 97 is clear that the owner's risk rate is a reduced rate than the railway risk rate, where the railway is not liable for loss. If you as an owner or a consignor have accepted your own risk or the owner's risk rate, then the railway authorities are not liable for loss, damage or non-delivery unless it was caused by negligence or misconduct from their side. Liability for damage to goods in defective conditions or defectively packed. Again, Section 98 puts the responsibility of packaging the goods and ensuring that the package is good fit for transportation on the consignor or the owner of the goods. Goods tendered to a railway administration must be carried by railway, must not be in a defective condition or defectively packed if they are then the railway authorities have no liability for damage. If goods are damaged, deteriorate, leak or waste due to defective packing, and this is recorded in the forwarding note, the railway is not liable unless negligence or misconduct is proven. This means that if you have indicated in the forwarding note that the goods are damaged or are likely to deteriorate, leak or waste due to defective packing, which is recorded in the forwarding note, the railway is not liable unless there has been further negligence from their side or a misconduct, but that needs to be proved. Liability of the termination of transit, section 99. At railway risk rate, the railway is liable for loss within 7 days as a bailee under section 151, 152 and 161 of the Indian Contract Act. At owner's risk, liability exists only with proof of negligence. The railway is not liable for perishable goods or dangerous items after transit. Let's understand the liability of the railways after termination of transit. That means that after the goods have been delivered. Section 99 addresses this issue. At railway risk rate, that means the risk rate that has been defined in the railway rate books, the railway is liable for loss within 7 days as a bailee under section 151, 152 and 161 of the Indian Contracts Act. At owner's risk, liability exists only with proof of negligence. That means that if you have not accepted the railway risk rate, but you have gone ahead with the owner's risk rate, then liability exists only with proof of negligence. The railway is not liable for perishable goods or dangerous items after transit. It is very clear that if you are trying to transport perishable goods or dangerous items, then after the transit period, there is no way that you can put up a claim for any damages. Responsibility as carrier of luggage. A railway administration is not liable for loss, damage or non-delivery of luggage unless it was booked by railway staff with a receipt and the loss was due to railway negligence or misconduct. Responsibility as a carrier of animals. A railway administration is not liable for loss, destruction or injury to animals due to fright, restiveness or overloading by the consigner. Responsibility as carrier of luggage. Section 100 says a railway administration is not liable for loss. That means there is no loss or damage that can be claimed from the railways for non-delivery of luggage unless it was booked by an official from the railways with a receipt and the loss was due to railway negligence or misconduct, which means that there was some negligence on the part of the railway authorities in either loading the cargo or the goods or the luggage into the wagon. Only then is the railway liable for damages. Responsibility as a carrier of animals. Normally, a consigner who is wanting to transport animals by railway is handed over the wagon and he is expected to load that wagon with the animals. As a result, what happens here is the railway administration is not liable for loss, destruction or injury to animals due to fright, restiveness or overloading by the consigner. So if the consigner, that is you, do overload that wagon with the number of animals and or the animals are such that they have a fright to traveling or have a situation of restiveness, then the railway administration is not liable for any loss or destruction or an injury to the animals. Exoneration from liability in certain cases, section 102. A railway administration shall not be responsible for the loss, destruction, damage or deterioration or non-delivery of any consignment when such loss, etc. is due to a false description of the consignment, where a fraud has been practiced by the consignor, endorsee or consignee, where it is proved to have been caused due to improper loading or unloading by the consignor, etc. When is the railway authorities exonerated from any liability? In certain cases, outright. Section 102 covers this. A railway administration shall not be responsible for any loss, destruction, damage or deterioration or non-delivery of any consignment, provided such a loss, etc., is due to a false description of the consignment, which means the forwarding note or the other documents which accompanied the consignment had a false description of the goods. Where a fraud has been practiced by the consignor, by the endorsee, or any other person who is related to the consignment, except any of the railway authorities or officials. Where it is proved to have been caused due to improper loading or unloading by the consignor, etc. Which means that, as I said, especially animals and other goods, the consignor is expected to load and unload the goods. Where it is proved that the damage was caused due to improper loading or unloading by the consignor, then the railway is exonerated from the liability. Other conditions: riot, civil commotion, strike, lockout, stoppage or restraint of labor from whatever cause arising, whether partial or general, or any indirect or consequential loss or damage, or for loss of particular market. So the railways is exonerated of their liability in case if the damage has been due to a riot, civil commotion, strike, lockout, stoppage or restraint of labor from whatever cause arising, whether partially or general, or any indirect or consequential loss or damage for loss of particular market, which means, let's say that there is a material that is being transported and has to be unloaded at a certain point, but there is a strike there, or there is some civil commotion, or there is a riot and it cannot be unloaded, or if there is a consequential loss because of certain conditions or due to the loss of a particular market. In all these conditions, which are beyond the control of the railway authorities are exonerated from their liability. The Railway Act 1989. Let's look at other provisions under the Railway Act of 1989. Legality of right to sell by common carriers. Railway Act 1989 says that the Railway Act Section 61-112 covers the carriage of goods, detailing Indian Railways responsibilities, liabilities, rates and grievance redressal. The Railway Claims Tribunal Act 1987 sets up the Railway Claims Tribunal and excludes civil and commercial courts from hearing related claims. What does this mean? Let's go in and look at the non-legal meaning of it, or rather the non-legal language meaning of it. Legality of right to sell by common carriers. So what is the authority or the right available to common carriers, and what is official and accepted under law? The Railway Act covers sections 61 up to 112 covers the carriage of goods, detailing Indian Railways responsibilities, liabilities, rates and grievance redressal. The Railway Claims Tribunal Act of 1987 sets up the Railway Claims Tribunal and excludes civil and commercial courts from hearing related claims, which means that all claims have to be lodged with the Railway Claims Tribunal under the Tribunal Act of 1987, and these claims cannot be heard in civil or commercial courts. Carriage of Goods Act by Air Carriage, by Air Act 1972. Carriage by Air Act 1972, which came into force from 1973, implements the Warsaw, Hague and Montreal Conventions, governs liability for passenger injury, baggage, cargo loss and delays in air carriage. Conventions are incorporated as schedules to the Act. Warsaw Convention covers international carriage by air. So when you are looking at carriage by air, Carriage of Goods by Air Carriage Act of 1972 is to be looked at, which came into force from May 15, 1973. It implements the Warsaw, Hague and the Montreal Conventions, which means that it follows the Warsaw, Hague and Montreal provision convention provisions for air travel governs liability for passengers, injury, baggage or cargo loss and delays in air carriage. So the next time that you have a flight which is delayed, you can refer this act for claiming any damages or going to court for claims. Conventions are incorporated as schedules to the Act. Warsaw Convention covers international carriage by air. We all know this, that Warsaw, where your baggage and other rules are also covered under the Warsaw Convention, which covers international carriage by air. That means you are taking an international flight, you will be governed by the Warsaw Convention. The Warsaw System and Montreal Convention allow 5 jurisdiction choices for passenger claims. Place of ticket issue. Second, principal place of business of the carrier. Third, the place of passenger's destination. Fourth, the place of domicile of the carrier. And fifth, place of domicile of the passenger if airline is present there. So, under the Warsaw System and the Montreal Convention, a passenger has 5 jurisdiction choices for putting up any of his claims. Place where the ticket was issued. Second, the place, principal place of the business of the carrier, which means, for example, if it is IndiGo or Air India, it would be India. Place of passenger's destination. It could be a place where you want to claim, put up a claim. Since you are now currently staying in an country outside India, you can look at putting up the claim through the passenger, where is your destination of the ticket. Place of domicile of the carrier. Again, whichever country the airline is from. Place of domicile of the passenger. If you are from India, then you need to put up the claim there, provided that the airline operates and has a presence in the country. Article 5 requires the consignor to issue an air consignment note declaring the goods value. If the carrier accepts goods without it, they lose the right to limit liability for 250 francs per kg for registered luggage and goods, 5,000 francs for hand luggage per passenger. What does Article 5 of the Convention tell us? It tells us that the consignor needs to issue an air consignment note declaring the goods value, which means that you, if you are the consignor, that is the person who is wanting to send the goods by air, must declare the value of the goods. Now, if the carrier accepts the goods without the value, then they lose the right to limit liability. And the limited liability is 250 francs per kg for registered luggage and goods, that is the cargo or the personal luggage that a passenger is carrying with him, and 5,000 francs for hand luggage per passenger. The 250 franc limit for registered luggage does not apply if the consignor declares a higher value at check-in and pays a supplementary fee. In such cases, the carrier is liable for the declared amount unless they prove it's higher than the actual value. No limitation applies in case of willful misconduct by the carrier. Article 29 sets a 2-year limit from the date of arrival or expected arrival for lodging damage claims. The Montreal Convention made several changes and is now included in Schedule 3 of the Act, applying to domestic air travel too. Let's look at the limitations. The 250 franc limit for registered luggage, that means the 250 francs per kg limit for registered luggage, does not apply if the consignor declares a higher value at check-in and pays a supplementary fee. Let's say you are traveling from point A to point B and you check in your luggage, and there you declare the value of your luggage to be much higher than the 250 francs per kg value, then and the airline charges you a supplementary fee. Now, once you have paid that supplementary fee, the carrier is liable for the declared amount, which means, let us say, for example, you had a 5 kg bag, 250 francs, that means 1250 francs would be the value of your luggage. If you declared that value to be, let's say, 2000 francs, then the airline would be liable for the declared amount unless and until they prove it is much higher than the actual value in the market. There is no limitation. No limitation applies in case of willful misconduct by the carrier. If the carrier, by any chance, there is a case of misconduct or negligence from the airline side, then there is no limit. You can claim whatever is possible. Article 29 sets a 2-year limit from the date of arrival or expected arrival for lodging damage claims. Let's say your baggage did not arrive itself. Now, if that baggage was your accompanied baggage, which means it should have arrived the day that you arrived, you get a 2-year limit from the date of arrival or expected arrival for lodging damage claims for your luggage or the cargo. The Montreal Convention has made several changes over a period of time, and it is now included in Schedule 3 of the Act, applying to domestic air travel also. While the Montreal Convention was more for international travel, India has included those changes in the Schedule 3 of the Act and made it applicable for domestic travel in India also. Carriers are liable for cargo loss or damage, except in cases like inherent defects or acts of war. Article 22 limits baggage liability to 20,000 rupees per passenger. Liability for cargo is limited to 350 rupees per kg unless the consignor declares a higher value and pays a supplementary sum. In that case, the carrier is liable for the declared amount unless proven otherwise. Carriers are liable for cargo loss or damage except in cases like inherent defects or acts of war. Only in these two cases, that means inherent defects of the cargo or any act of war. Article 22 limits baggage liability to 20,000 per passenger. This is for domestic travel. Liability for cargo is limited to Rs. 350 per kg unless the consignor declares a higher value and pays a supplementary sum. In that case, the carrier is liable for the declared amount unless proven otherwise. Similar case, it is except that instead of now international travel, we are looking at domestic travel, and the rate is in rupees instead of francs per kg. The rate is 350 per kg for all the luggage or cargo that has been declared.